Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning. Happy Thursday. I know what day it is, Ben. Sometimes it just takes you a minute. You're revved up.
I'm ready.
Rolling.
I'm ready. Ready to go.
Got our coffee. That one, music went away fast.
Yeah.
Just cut off ZZ Top.
Yeah. Ben was done with ZZ. He's like, that's it. We're moving on.
Sorry.
By the way, Benny loves himself some Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
the Bernie Sanders picture from yesterday that has gone viral.
Absolutely.
He's sitting there all looking grumpy and miserable, wearing his
mittens,
Vermont-made mittens, and it's everywhere now. It's replaced crying Jordan.
Yes, freezing Bernie has replaced crying Jordan.
They're all over the place right now.
He's all over.
It's sitting there with FDR, Churchill, and Stalin.
Uh-huh. Actually, that picture was real. That was actually.
Oh, he was there for that one?
Yeah, he was actually there for that one.
Sitting on the New York skyscraper as it's being built with all the steel workers?
Yeah.
Oh. Funny stuff. Funny stuff. All right. The asking price is pretty much in. Saw it yesterday, reports out there that it would appear that if you want Deshaun Watson, it's gonna cost you, like we predicted, a starting price of 3 first round draft picks.
Correct.
And I was just kinda doing a little research and, the teams that get mentioned the most. Okay?
Uh-huh.
The Jets, the Patriots, although I just can't see Belichick doing that, trading 3 picks.
Bill,
would you ever trade 3 first round picks?
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
For a guy that discovered Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't think he would.
I don't either.
San Francisco is a name that comes up. Carolina. And the Dolphins.
Broncos aren't mentioned.
Broncos don't get mentioned.
Well, you think about the Jets. I mean, the Jets makes perfect sense because they have 2 first-rounders this year. So they can give 2 first-rounders this year and a first-rounder next year, and they could ship off their quarterback in Sam Darnold over there if that sweetens the pot, so to speak, right? So, I mean, there's an opportunity to do that seems to fit.
Like, that would win a lot of goodwill with your fans, too, who are already ticked off at you for blowing Trevor Lawrence. What?
Oh, you mean the Jets?
Jets.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Missing out.
Struggling.
The opportunity to draft the can't-miss kid. You are unbelievable.
You just shocked me there for a second.
You are unbelievable.
Wait a minute. I didn't know what you were talking about. I lost
you.
I was lost for a second.
You stunned me. You stunned me.
No, I didn't know. I didn't understand the Trevor Lawrence.
Looking at the Huff right now, he's like, what?
I didn't understand the Trevor Lawrence, but now I get it.
All right.
Yeah, because they lost. They ended up winning some games. They ended up winning some games, so they blew their opportunity to get Trevor Lawrence.
I thought that was pretty
blew it!
Self-explanatory.
Okay, good. I just was lost for a second. As lost as they did. What'd they do? Excuse me? But I got you now.
You got me.
I'm reeled back in now, Mike.
But the Broncos are not on that list.
Right.
Do you think that's because the people who are putting these lists together don't see a fit there, or just don't feel like Watson would be interested?
I think it has more to do with where you're picking, where, like, the potential draft picks that you have to give up. So I think it has more to do with the capital that you have. And I think it's also looking, like, realistically looking at the Broncos saying, you got a brand new GM, you don't have ownership, how are you gonna and you've got a ton of holes that you have to fill on your roster. How are you gonna make that? How are you gonna pull that? And I think a lot of it has to do with ownership. Just the fact that you have an unstable ownership situation here in Denver.
We'll hear from Joel Klatt, the best of Joel Klatt, and that's kind of what his feeling was, that until you get this thing resolved, this franchise can't totally move forward.
But they made a pretty good commitment to George Payton.
Well, they made a 6-year commitment to him, right?
Yeah, independent of, I mean, it would have been very, very easy, especially once Joe Ellis put that sort of light at the end of the tunnel target date of March of 2022 out there. It would have been very, very easy for the Broncos to just say, hey, hands are tied, status quo until then. Bring the whole gang back. They made a significant change here.
Yeah, they made a huge change.
Huge change. Which would, you know, seem to tell me that they're prepared to at least try to really, resuscitate this thing without having to just wait for ownership to be settled.
Yeah, they did make a commitment there. I think it was, I think part of that commitment was, Joe Ellis doesn't want to be the guy to fire John Elway and to move off of John Elway.
Although I think he would have.
Oh, I do too.
I think he would have.
But this to me is Joe Ellis going, this ownership thing is not going well. The management of this football team, and that's on Joe Ellis, has not gone well. And essentially to me, you haven't done a good enough job honoring your friend.
Yep.
And doing what he would have done. And I know they're hard decisions, man. I understand that. I understand friendships and I understand loyalty and I understand all those things. But the bottom line is what's gone on here the last 5 years has not been good enough. And I truly don't believe Mr. Bowen would have put up with it.
This text from Rich. What if we get Watson and they don't ask him who should buy our team? Won't he be upset?
That's good.
Hey, look, I don't believe star players should be consulted.
Right.
But if you tell them they're going to be consulted, you got to follow through on it.
Right. You can't say, hey, we're going to consult with our next hire for you, with you. And then hire somebody without consulting with the guy. If you promise them that, you're going to have to give them that. And I'm with you. Hey man, how about you let me own and you just play
right.
And I'm signing your checks. But, you know, the issue is that Watson doesn't like Cal McNair, the owner of the Texans. And Cal McNair ain't going anywhere. He inherited that team from daddy. He ain't going nowhere. So I still believe at the end of the day, I still believe that they're going to be able to smooth things out.
I don't know, Mark. Every day that goes by, I think that's less and less likely.
We shall see.
We shall hear from the great Joel Klatt, who had an interesting take on what kind of message the Broncos are sending by bringing in somebody like George Payton. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Every Thursday we give you a chance, the great 6 a.m. listeners, to hear the best of our conversation with Joel Klatt, who joins us each and every week. Asked him what he thought of George Payton's comments about how you don't necessarily need to have a franchise quarterback in order to be able to win.
Wrong. Totally wrong. Totally wrong. I would have just, like, literally, someone just raised your hand and like, oh, yeah, can you provide any evidence of that?
Well, he said we went to the playoffs in Minnesota with six different quarterbacks.
Okay, so we're trying to go to the playoffs now? George, I'm sorry. This is the Denver Broncos, not the Minnesota Vikings.
Hey,
we try to win championships here.
After the last five years, the goal
is not to just get to the playoffs.
After the last 5 years, I think that would feel pretty good right now.
Let's go back into the philosophical conversation. Just because you haven't had ultimate success does not mean that you lower your standard of success, right? Like, this period should not lower the standard of success. That would be a change. That would be a cultural change. That would be a chase. That's a short-term game. So what do you do? Okay. Well, let's go sign homeboy wants to sign. And who, I don't know who it is. And you get to the playoffs. Great. And then Mahomes thumps you. Or Allen thumps you. Or Mayfield thumps you. Or any of the quality young quarterbacks throughout, maybe it's Herbert. I don't know. And they thump you. And then you're sitting there and guess what? You're in the same situation, not winning the Super Bowl, behind the same teams that you need to get above in order to win the Super Bowl. I think that's, I don't want to disparage, but I just think that's completely wrong. That is 100% wrong.
Okay, then let me follow up then. If he is available and the Broncos are on his trade list, how far would you go to land Deshaun Watson? At what point would the asking price get to be too much for you?
It's a great question. I would absolutely go after and exhaust all options. So I don't know what that line is. To be honest with you, it's hard not sitting here with like the cap numbers and everything. What are you doing to your roster overall?
Let's say it's three number ones and a player, and like a young player, like a Fant or Judy. Three number ones and Fant and or Judy. Would you do it?
I would try to keep Judy. I would do it for Fant and two ones and a three. I'm talking about, I would go as far. I don't think I would do three ones, but man, I'd get close, guys. Again, this is all as a exhaust all options. Deshaun Watson is a quarterback that passes the confetti test. He is a quarterback that could potentially compete with and maybe even supplant, depending on the type of roster that you could build around him, Patrick Mahomes within the division. I know that seems like heresy because Mahomes is the $500 million man, but he's that good and he's that competitive. Think of what he did. Clemson is not Clemson without Deshaun Watson. Okay? Like, this guy has shown the ability, even in a terrible organization like Houston, to the ability to put the organization on his back and go win games. This guy is a bona fide, proven franchise quarterback. Exhaust all options.
Anybody in this draft, and I know it's early coming into this draft, that you look at and said, that dude, for me, beyond Trevor Lawrence, that dude for me passes the confetti test. Any other guy in this coming draft?
Everyone else is a little hard for me. I would say, if you just threw Watson in that conversation, I would say Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, maybe the other way around, and then everybody else is a wait and see. I'm not sure about everybody else in the draft. I think that that's unproven at this point. I think that there are some really good players. I don't want to disparage, but unproven at this point. That's why if you could get a Deshaun Watson, man, I would absolutely go full force at that.
A few weeks ago,
GM is sitting there saying you don't need a franchise quarterback to win in this league, great signal to, like, that's not good recruiting for Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Don't need it. Come on.
Real quick.
Oh, I mean, come on, right? Like, let's be honest, Mike. Like, who's the... Jeez. The reason you're in Minnesota.
Ooh.
Give me a break.
Ooh. Oh.
Well, what have they done?
Wow.
What have they done?
They've been, what, 48 and... 50 and 36 in the same span that the Broncos have gone, like 28 and 48. I mean, they've won games.
How many playoff wins?
They went to an NFC Championship game with Case Keenum.
Okay. Well, all right. We're signing Case Keenum again?
Well, I wouldn't put anything out of reach right now. All right, well, hey, thank you. Hey, listen, this is why we have you on.
Because I
would say pretty much the response to George Payton has been very, very positive, and you just, you know, poured a little cold water on it like only you can.
Well, it's all about the Lombardi Trophy, guys. It really is.
Okay.
All right.
I love it. You'd be amazed how many Titanic texts we've received in the last 5 minutes saying that you're completely wrong. Jack tried to get on, and the door started to sink.
I think
Mythbusters,
first of all,
by the way.
I don't know it to that degree. I do remember that movie is overall overrated because all DiCaprio does is run around shouting Rose. Like, Rose! Rose! It's like, can you stop shouting Rose?
Oh.
Rose.
That was quintessential clout right there.
Yeah, it was.
That really was.
Just irritated. Just grumpy, irritated, like clout.
Yeah.
It was like that picture of Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Just grumpy with his mittens on, doing an interview.
Well, a true story. Clout hated the cold so much.
Uh huh.
And when he was doing this show, sitting in your seat, he would come in on the cold mornings. The poor guy was just all bundled up. And he would do the first 30 minutes of the show sitting there completely still wearing his jacket, hat, and gloves. Because it would take him like a full 40 minutes to get warmed up. And he was miserable.
Boy, I tell you what.
But he brings some heavy snark, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. The snark is incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Minnesota. I'm just dripping with contempt.
I know.
Wow. I was like, man.
Tiger makes a stew out of me.
Thank you, Philip. Thanks for keeping it.
Aggravates the stew out of me.
That one, that might be
Tiger makes a stew out of me.
That might be Benny's new favorite moving forward. Is that your new favorite drop? Is that of all your drops?
Absolutely.
Is that your new favorite one? Even?
No.
No? Okay, good. All right. I was just wondering where it ranks now.
Okay. Diabetes. Yeah,
that's a good point.
That's
still number one. All right. Morning Brew is coming your way. Speaking of dadgummit, reaction around the NFL to Philip Rivers retiring. And the NBA on the brink, the precipice of losing their mind. We'll tell you next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet sh**.
Let's get it on!
Even if you know your team, you think you have a good team, and then you have a bunch of injuries, and you get wiped out, and so it's hard to predict. Listen, I'm just excited to see this young group of players develop, with this staff, and really that's all I can tell you.
George Payton on with the drive. Also during his press conference, resisted any temptation to put any sort of timetable on, the turnaround here. When this becomes a playoff team again. Do you agree with that? Or should he throw something out there? This is my goal.
No, I don't. I think the goal of your general manager is to build the best team that you can build, the deepest team that you can build. There are a lot of things that go into that, but that's really what you're tasked with. And then your coaches have to develop the players and have to put them in positions to win and have to make, the right decisions. Manage the game properly, all those things. So there's a lot that goes into that. And frankly, you're here, you signed a 6-year deal. There is uncertainty in ownership and you don't know if Vic Fangio is going to be your long-term coach. So no, you've got to create the foundation.
He's taking a long view of this.
Absolutely.
He looks at the 6-year deal and says, that gives me all the room I need to take this slow.
The process here has been microwave dinners. You know what? Microwave dinners suck. Unless they're Salisbury steak. Salisbury.
Oh, the Swanson Hungry Man Salisbury. Oh, I love those things. You know, the gravy congeals, gets that little skin on the top.
Oh, delish. That thing is just like a preservative patty. It's not even real meat. I don't think I ever recall that.
That's awesome.
It's not even real.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
but they've been trying
mashed potatoes with my preservative patty, please. Yeah.
They've been trying to throw a Swanson Hungry Man in the microwave and call it good.
All right.
No, this is crock pot, man. This is simmering meatballs all day long.
Meatballs.
Yeah, you love meatballs.
Benny, you know how I feel about meatballs.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, the meatballs.
There you go. Next on the Morning Brew.
One of the best that I've ever been around at that position. You know, I put him in the same category as all those elite quarterbacks. Extremely smart. I'm sure there's a lot of defensive coordinators right now around the league breathing a sigh of relief what Phil has been able to do. And just the quality of person he is off the field, what a competitive guy, but also a high character man and a guy with great core values.
Sean McDermott of the Bills weighing in on the retirement of Phillip Rivers as the NFL world talked about Phillip Rivers retiring after 17 years. Did you do a Rivers game over the last couple of years?
Oh, yeah, I've done several.
Knock on wood.
A bunch of Rivers games, yeah.
Good dude?
Great dude.
Yeah?
Fun guy to talk to. He is. It's exactly how he is. But he just really knows the game, understands the game, and he's just one of those guys that you like to talk to. He just gives you great stuff and
I know he's going to be doing high school coaching.
Nah.
That's a guy I like to see in the TV booth. I think he'd be great.
Oh yeah.
I think he'd be great. I think he'd be better than Breeze.
Oh yeah, because you get some great. Like, they'd just be great one-liners.
Yeah,
you know, like
Aggravates the stew out of me.
No, he would be awesome. He would be awesome. But listen, this is his dream. Like, his dad was a high school football coach, man. He wants to go be a high school football coach. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I think that's great. Okay, next on the Morning Bro.
One of the most disappointing losses of my career. Our team practiced well. I can't fault their focus. I can't fault their preparation. I can't fault, you know, they were overlooking this game. They were ready before the game. But the bottom line is we couldn't stop them.
Wow. One of the most disappointing losses in his career. So says Tad Boyle after his bus, who've been playing really, really well, lost to a really bad Washington team that I think only has a couple of wins. Yeah, I think they're like 2-11 and they lost yesterday. Out there in Seattle, lost to Washington, 84-80. The good news is it should not hurt at all. Well, not dramatically. Certainly not their bid to get into the NCAA tournament. I guess it's just more of a seeding issue. Joe Lenardi's bracketology. I start to really pay attention to his bracketology as we get closer and closer. He had, as of a couple days ago, he had the bus as a number 5 seed.
Really?
Yeah. So this won't help the seeding, but they look like a tournament lock. Oh, I probably shouldn't do that. Buff, you're right. I'm sorry, Buff. I take that back. I don't want to give them credit. You know me and my jinxy ways.
Yes. Yeah, you don't want to do that to them. I mean, that's just the wrong thing to do.
I'm sorry.
But, yeah, I mean, tournament.
Jinxy! No!
Wait, it doesn't start till March, though, right? You got a long way to go, Mike. March Madness?
Yeah.
In April.
Right.
They finish in April.
No, we still got a ways to go, but it'll be upon us before you know it. But yeah, that's a bad loss.
I know.
When the committee gets together, they'll be saying, that's a bad loss. That'll hurt. And you heard how Tad Boyle felt about it. Next on the Morning Brew.
Davis on Jokic. Held against one of the great defenders in the game. Jokic running into a wall. The one-footer. It's good. Man, you're kidding me, Joker. Man, stop it. Stop it, Joker.
He's joking with the defense.
He Lakers will live with that, but Jokic makes those regularly.
There's the folks from TNT. We use that as a way to get into this NBA story. Apparently, the NBA trying to tighten down on its players with COVID tests or COVID tests coming back positive and games being postponed and players missing significant amount of time because they're in COVID protocol. They have sent out a memo, strongly worded memo. That says, no more hugging and handshakes. They're moving team security into the midcourt area to discourage players from hugging and handshakes.
Yeah, that's where the COVID is spreading. During the after everybody's tested negative, the post game handshakes and hugs.
You've just played 48 minutes of basketball, leaning on each other, sweating on each other, breathing on each other.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a long game poly for 48 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Right?
With a hairy back guy.
Exactly.
Shirts and skins.
You've done that for 48 minutes, and now at the end, you're going to say, no hugging.
Oh,
no handshakes.
Everybody knows that hugging is the way it spreads.
By the way, did you see the NBA is... I mean, talk about being disingenuous. Come on, Adam Silver. He says that the NBA may pay for a bunch of vaccinations and get their players vaccinated as a PSA to show the benefits of getting vaccinated. Come on, Adam Silver. Your nose is growing. PSA. Has nothing to do with a PSA. They just see a bunch of their games getting postponed and they want to try to put a stop to it.
I want to be a real boy.
Because they see the risk that it poses to their season. Come on. Let's be honest.
Yeah, PSA. What is it? Well, you got to change the acronym. PSA.
To what?
Like something like potentially saving
season. Potentially saving the association, PSA, potentially saving the association.
Yeah.
There you go.
See? The money.
It is the money.
It's all cash.
PSA. I saw that. I just started cracking up. Are you kidding me?
No. That's the altruistic.
That.
That's the altruistic nature of the NBA.
Look, we want to lead the way in showing the benefits.
We believe the NBA is the future.
Come on.
Vaccinate them and let them lead the way.
Yeah. Come on. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. James.
Kind of ballsy, though.
Yeah. So that's me being kind of sarcastic and come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Nobody does it better, though, than James Merrillat. He'll join us coming up next. And James Merrillat join us on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Of course, James with 1043thefan.com. Great content all week. The reaction to George Payton. How would you, I guess, characterize overall the reaction to Payton taking over? Positive?
Yeah, I think it's been positive. I think my take has been from the get-go cautiously optimistic. I like the fact that it's someone from outside the organization who has no ties to the Broncos prior to taking the job. And as time has gone on, and as I've heard more stories, I've gotten less cautious and more optimistic. So yeah, I think the overall reaction has been positive. I think it's a step in the right direction.
What is it that gives you optimism about George Payton?
Well, I think you look at the track record in Minnesota in terms of their ability to draft players and, 13 Pro Bowlers that they've selected. I think that certainly is reason to be optimistic. I think the fact that he clearly comes out and says, hey, quarterback is the most important position in all of sports, that's somewhat stating the obvious to me, but it's also acknowledging the fact of, hey, we got to get that position right. They never really solved that riddle in Minnesota, but it wasn't for a lack of trying, right? They signed big-name free agents. Brett Favre was as big a name as you can get. They gave a ton of money to Kirk Cousins. They spent first-round picks trying to find the answer, and Christian Ponder and then Teddy Bridgewater was a high pick. So recognizing the fact that that's the thing you have to solve, that's the number one riddle, that gives me reason to be optimistic. They, obviously he has to figure out how to do it, and he didn't quite crack the code in Minnesota, but it wasn't for a lack of trying.
But I think that's what's the general, I guess, euphoria of Peyton taking over, kind of settled down? It was like, okay, now wait a minute, we're getting somebody who comes from Minnesota. Solid program,
yeah.
But here's a team that has lived in the Green Bay Packers' shadow for years, you know, a couple decades, and they haven't really been able to break through. And when you're staring at the Broncos' predicament with Patrick Mahomes in this division, you know, is this really the right guy? Is it, or maybe not the right guy, but is this the right model?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but by the same token, in you kind of outlined a little bit of it there, is that, you know, with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, it would be very easy to just throw up your hands and say, well, they're going to dominate the division for the next 15 years, right? Kind of like Broncos country is doing with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And it's not as though Green Bay hasn't been really good and they haven't made the playoffs and been to some Super Bowls, but Minnesota has been competitive. They've won some divisions. They've, division titles. They've hung in there. So I think to some extent that actually is a reason to be encouraged of, yeah, you had a dominant quarterback in the division in Minnesota. But that wasn't just wave the white flag and, you know, wait till he retires. It was figure out a way to try and compete. You know, Minnesota hasn't quite gotten over the hump, but it's not as though they've been just an also ran and it's, hey, we're going to go 8-8 every year and maybe we can compete for a wild card and, you know, we'll just wait for things to change in Green Bay. I actually think that's a reason for encouragement that they've, you know, to some extent gone toe to toe with the Packers while Aaron Rodgers has been in the division. That's very much similar to what the Broncos are going to be facing for the next decade with Patrick Mahomes.
Value of Deshaun Watson is out there talking about 3 first round picks, maybe a player also. And you know, ultimately, I don't know that, and I don't think that he's going to be here, but the quarterback situation here, if you're George Payton, like, how do you address that? What would be your plan of action in regards to the quarterback position with the Denver Broncos?
Well, I think if you can, you know, pull off a move that clearly upgrades the position, I think you make it. So what I give up 3 first round draft picks for Deshaun Watson? Yeah, I would, because I think the talent on offense is pretty good. You know, I think we're heading into 2021. We know 10 of the 11 starters. We just don't know who the quarterback is going to be. The rest of it, we know the offensive line. We know the receivers, the, you know, tight end, the running back. It's all a bunch of young, high priced talent. So I would probably make that move. But if I can't clearly upgrade the position, and to me, that's, you know, it's Matthew Stafford, it's Deshaun Watson, or it's the top 3 quarterbacks in the draft. It's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. If I can't do that, then I'm going to go with Drew Lock, and I'm going to, you know, hope and go down the path of maybe this is the year that, you know, kind of turns the corner and he's able to develop. To me, making a lateral move to an Andy Dalton or somebody like that makes no sense, because there's no long-term prospect to it, right? It's a 1-year deal. Maybe you win a couple more games, but you know, it's the HOV lane to nowhere. So if I'm George Payton, I'm either clearly upgrading the position, which there are some options, none of which are easy to do, but there are some options, or I'm standing pat and seeing what I have in the young quarterback.
Honest question. You act like the pieces on offense are all proven commodities. What makes you so confident that, hey, all the pieces are in place on offense?
I think you're right. I don't know that they're proven commodities. I just think we know who they're going to be. I mean, it's, you know, it's Bowles, Reisner, Cushenberry, Glasgow, James. We know that's the offensive line. We know it's Sutton and Judy. We know it's Noah Fant. We know it's Melvin Gordon. It's just,
I guess my question then, James, is how do we know that this offense is just simply a better quarterback away from being a top 10, top 5 scoring offense?
Well, I think you make a great point, Mike, in that I don't know that that's the missing piece. Like, there's a reason why I'm probably higher on Drew Lock than most people. I've seen things in every single game this year that have been encouraging. I think the biggest problem is coaching. I think it's a Pat Shurmur issue. I think he's a guy who has never shown that he can develop a young quarterback. I think he's a guy who never has shown he can have a top 10 offense consistently in this league. I mean, the only time he's done it was the one aberration year with Case Keenum in Minnesota, and then 2 years where he it was really Chip Kelly's offense in Philly. So I think you make a great point. I don't know that it's talent. I don't know that it's quarterback, because of the guy who's calling the shots. And we saw this year, he's going to force that square peg into a round hole, because after they looked great in Carolina, what did they do? They went right back to running Pat Shurmur's offense, because his system is the be-all, end-all in his mind. I think that's the number one problem for this team on offense.
All right, you can check out James all of the time, all week long at 1043thefan.com. He joins us a couple times a week. James, thank you.
You bet, fellas.
James Merrillat on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Coming up, it's starting to take shape. Exactly what it would take to bring Deshaun Watson to your hometown. James Merrillat says he'd make the deal. Would you? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.